I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but maybe you just need a few moms in your corner. Every week, we check in with a diverse group of parents for their common sense and savvy parenting advice. This week, though, we decided to talk about moms who try to set an example as parents and as public figures. They are the women recognized as the most powerful moms of 2011 by Working Mother Media. This year's list includes First Lady Michelle Obama, designer Vera Wang, philanthropist Melinda Gates, and the actress and writer Tina Fey. Here's Tina Fey reading about her hopes for her daughter, an excerpt from her best-selling book, Bossy Pants.
When the crystal meth is offered, may she remember the parents who cut her grapes in half and stick with beer. Lead her away from acting, but not all the way to finance. Something where she can make her own hours, but still feel intellectually fulfilled and get outside sometimes and not have to wear high heels.
She's talking about her mother's prayer, of course, for her daughter and for all mothers. And we wanted to talk more about this year's list of most powerful moms and what it takes to be one. We're joined now by Helen Johnson. She edited the list of most powerful moms for, and she's editor of WorkingMother.com. Also with us, two of our own powerful moms, two of our regular contributors, Jolene Ivey and Leslie Morgan Steiner. Jolene is a state legislator in Maryland. She's also one of the co-founders of the National Mother Support Group, the Mocha Moms, and she's a mom of five. Leslie is a writer and author, most recently of the memoir Crazy Love, and she is a mom of three. Welcome to you all. Thank you for joining us, and happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays, Michelle.
A pleasure to be here.
Happy holidays. It's Helen.
So, Helen, let's start with you. You had certain criteria for your list of powerful moms. Tell us what they were.
We do. We've been looking at most powerful moms for 2 years now, and each list is a different category of moms in either an industry or some sort of theme. And all of them, the base criteria is they must have at least one child still under 18 years of age. So that allows us to sort of age people out of the list. So you're not going to have Hillary Clinton on the list forever because she was once a mom. She'll always be a mom, but she's not raising children at home at this time. So that's the base criteria. Beyond that, the women have to make a sizable contribution to either the career category or to the life category that we are talking about. So when we named most powerful moms in pop culture, it may be debatable whether they're all role models, but they certainly made an impression on all of us somehow over the course of the year.
They had something to say about being a mother or the way in which their role as mothers informed our understanding of what mothers can do, for example, something like that. Is that the idea? I mean, is it somebody who never talked about being a mother would make the list? Like, for example, Ursula Burns, certainly a groundbreaker and a game changer, the chair of Xerox, the CEO of Xerox, the first African-American woman to chair a Fortune 500 company, certainly is a mom. I don't hear her talk about it very much.
Well, because you probably don't hear her speak about industry things. When you talk to Ursula and you talk more about the field that she's in, she speaks about her children a great deal, and she speaks about work-life balance and trying to make it all work. She does think of herself as a role model for other, particularly African-American women, who wonder if they can push through the career even while they have families, and she is certainly a role model to them.
All right. Jolene, tell me which of the moms on this list do you identify with or admire most? And is there anybody on the list you don't think belong there?
Well, you know, they come up with their own lists and they have their own criteria. For me, if I were making a list, I'd have to stick with who has children who I admire. Because if the children have turned out well, then I think that the parents, and particularly the mother, has probably done a great job. And to me, that's an important part of this. I think it's great that Melinda Gates has done so much for world health, and that's really helped kids so much in public education here in this country. I don't know anything about her kids. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that says she has done such a great job of shielding her children from the public. And that's an important thing for someone like her. On the other hand, it keeps me from having that information about her to know if she should be most powerful mom. She's certainly most powerful philanthropist for children.
Hmm. Okay, Leslie, what about you?
Well, first off, I want to say that I think that the most amazing thing is that Working Mother has a list that has the words most powerful and mom together. Because I think that our culture is really conflicted about moms and working moms and power in a woman's hands, particularly a mother's hands. And so I think the list, period, is great. But I have to say my favorite person on this list is Lisa Stone, who along with two other women in 2006, I believe it is, founded Blog Her. And at the time, I had started blogging for TheWashingtonPost.com. And I think Lisa saw, before a lot of people saw, how mommy blogs had the power to change motherhood for the good. Because early motherhood in particular, whether you're working or staying at home, can be incredibly isolating. But if you have a blog that you can write or hundreds that you can read, as she assembled on Blog Her, it doesn't matter if it's 2 a.m. It doesn't matter if you're home with a sick child. It doesn't matter if you're crazy busy at work. You can still connect with other moms. And I see that as incredibly empowering to mothers everywhere.
Now, I know that Hillary Clinton didn't qualify because her daughter is launched, right? She's over 18 and is doing her own thing now. Most recently has been hired as a special correspondent for, you know, NBC's Today Show. But that, Leslie, you still feel that Michelle Obama, for you, as much as you appreciate her for what she's doing, you don't feel that she's really powerful. Tell us more about that.
It's true. I love Michelle Obama, like I think every other person in this country. But I see her as a really popular first lady, but not a powerful one at all. And I see this as something that it's a very sad statement about our culture, because Michelle Obama certainly has the ability to be very powerful. She's probably one of the smartest, most well-educated first ladies ever. She went to Princeton undergrad and Harvard Law School, and she spent most of her career advocating for minorities. And we don't see that side of her. We see her on the cover of Vogue with her beautiful arms and in Ladies' Home Journal and talking about eating well and doing aerobic exercise. But we don't hear her opinions. And I think she has an incredibly powerful platform. And I think that she has been silenced by the people who, during her husband's campaign, labeled her unfairly as an angry black woman. And that my guess, I don't know this personally because I don't know her personally, my guess is that she's really had to cave to the pressure to censor herself. And I bet you that Michelle Obama has a lot to say and a lot of power to use. And I personally just really wish that she would use it.
Well, let's hear more about that. Helen, do you want to offer a thought about that? And Jolene, I'd certainly love to hear what you have to say, both a political spouse and an elected official in your own right. You were one before you were the other, but you actually were a Hill staffer before you were on the Hill. So I don't know. Helen, you made the selection, or rather, you edited the selection. So tell me your response to that. In fact, I know that Leslie's point of view is not the only one. I mean, she's not the only person who feels that way. Certainly, there are a lot of people do appreciate Michelle Obama, but many people do think she could be doing more with her position. What's your thought about that?
I would not disagree with either of you. I think she does have a very powerful platform that can be used in a lot of different ways, but that did not negate the fact that she is still a woman that people look to. What Michelle Obama says, what Michelle Obama thinks, what she wears, how she presents herself, where she turns up, where she puts her energy is noticed. Women look to it. She was perhaps the name that came up very strongly in the running for the most powerful mom of the year. There were two sides to that. We have a lot of women who will jump up and say she's not getting a salary right now, so she's not earning a paycheck. Therefore, she's not a working mom. We did disagree with that. We disagreed with that on several platforms. One is the fact that she did work outside the home, raising young children right up to the point of the year before getting into the White House. We are not a culture that allows our first ladies to hold a salaried position outside the White House. So we really felt very strongly this was a career woman with young children who continues on a career trajectory in that she is in the White House. So that was how we argued that she is not actually collecting her own pay stub every week at this point. We do find her a very strong, powerful mom in her role model status. Could she do more? Perhaps. Could we all do more? Certainly. But every now and then, we have to at least give credit where credit is due, and I think that exists for Michelle Obama at this time. I want to say that remind you that the women on this list is not the universe of power moms. It was very specific to the 10 categories that we named this year as categories of interest where we had moms in positions. That's why Ursula Burns was on the list this year, not because she was CEO, but she was on the list for being in science, technology, engineering, and math. She is an engineer by training. She is not a Wharton MBA only CEO. She is an engineer by training who came up through the ranks, who started her career as an intern at Xerox. There's a lot to be said for that, for role modeling and for moving up the ranks.
Sure, I want to hear more about that. I want to hear more about that, but I want to hear Jolene weigh in on the Michelle Obama question, and then Helen, I'll come back to you.
I love Michelle Obama. I think she's fantastic. And the only thing, I'm sure she could do more in theory if people weren't holding her back. But I think under the circumstances, she has a lot to balance. I mean, she's got to make sure she first does no harm. And that's what they're worried about. And I am
sure.
Isn't that
the first rule for a political spouse? First, do no harm.
I know.
Never
I hate
have your
it.
Husband spend 10, well, any spouse, husband or wife, I guess at this point has spent, 10 minutes of political capital on something you did?
Right, exactly. And, you know, I understand that. And I know what she's got to be going through. I can only imagine. But when I look at her kids, if we go back to that for a moment, Malia and Sasha seem like the most well-adjusted, smart, very respectful, charming children. And I think that says a lot that under this circumstance, they've been able to raise these really well-adjusted kids.
Yeah, that's interesting, Jolene. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about this year's list of most powerful moms of 2011. That's a list put together by Working Mother Media, workingmother.com. The editor, Helen Johnson, is with us. She edited and created the list. Also with us, writer Leslie Morgan Steiner and Maryland State Legislator Jolene Ivey, two of our regular contributors. And they're, you know, offering their thoughts, you know, about the list. But the idea that, Jolene, it's interesting because I remember when I first started covering politics, you know, back in the day, and when you would interview women about what they were looking for, many women at that time, particularly white women, did not work outside, you know, the home. And of course, that now the majority do. But many would say, well, if I'm deciding whether to vote for a female candidate or not, I want to know that they're still doing a good job with their children. And there are other people who thought that that was completely retrograde because nobody evaluates men on that standard. Nobody evaluates, and very few people do, maybe some do, a male politician by how well his or her children, you know, are doing. And I'm interested, as an elected official yourself, why you adhere to that standard.
Well, it's really not about the elected or not elected. Mm-hmm. I feel that way about my friends. When I look around at my friends, when I decide who is, you know, who I love the most, it's usually the women who are doing really well with their children. I don't care if they're home with their kids or if they're working 100 hours a week. I look at their kids and say, are these kids doing well? And kids can do well under a lot of different circumstances. And I know with my husband, when he was an elected official and I was not, when I made the decision to run for office, people were very critical of me. And many people came up to me and said, what about your kids? And I would say to them, well, I didn't hear you saying anything about Glenn when he was running. You didn't have any concern about his children then. So why are you so worried now? And I believe our children have turned out fine. They're not perfect, but they're doing really well. And I think they're charming, polite kids. So, you know, I feel that I have met that standard, which is more important to me than being an elected official or, frankly, even being a wife. I think it's more important to be a good mom.
Leslie, what do you think about that?
Well, I think what Jolene is really talking about is that old saying, you know, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, that the way we bring up our kids makes us inherently very powerful. But I would expand upon the notion and really look at what all these women have done with their lives. And I have to say, on a personal note, it sort of scares me to think that anybody might judge me based on my children. I don't live through my children, and I'm not suggesting that you do, Jolene. I know you well enough to know you don't. But I don't want to put that kind of pressure on my kids. And also, my kids are they're their own people, and they're a work in progress. And I only have so much control over them. I'd like to look at this list and say, what are these women doing with their lives? I think it's wonderful the way they're balancing work and family. But, you know, back to the Michelle Obama, I hope so much. First of all, I hope that her husband wins a second term and that that gives her the political freedom to let us know what she thinks about being black in America, what it's like to let your husband's career come first when you've been the primary breadwinner for so long as she has, what it's like to raise kids in the White House, what it's like to juggle work and family, the role that her mother has played in their life. There's so much I want to hear from Michelle Obama, uncensored and candid, and I hope she can be a little edgier. I'm a big fan of that in no matter what you do as a mother or as a business person or a public figure.
So, Helen, finally, a couple minutes left here. I want to go back to what you were talking about of why different people made the list and what interesting insights you learned from each of them about how they balance their role as powerful people and as mothers, too. I know there was interesting and that Ursula Burns says she still does the shops for groceries and does the laundry at home. And, you know, my attitude is God bless her.
She said sometimes. She didn't say all the time.
I count in the minutes till I don't have to do laundry. Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, I don't think that really is a good measure of what someone does. I mean, there may be someone who has their own trade-off, that there's something else that they prefer to do than their laundry. In some homes, the husband becomes the at-home guy because the wife's career has taken off so strongly. In other families, there is a grandma, mom, an aunt, someone else who can help out with the kids. In some houses, there is a nanny. In other places, there is drop-off daycare. Or there are companies with great built-in daycare that people on regular schedules can use. Everybody's lives are so different. Though that's a very, very hard measure. What I'd like to point out before we wrap up is that at the end of the year, we asked our readers, we asked people in our offices, we asked friends to weigh in on who on the list was the most powerful mom of the year. And in the end, the three names that came up the most was Michelle Obama. But on top of that, there was Melinda Gates and Tina Fey. So in the end, with all the numbers tallied and all the discussions we had, we named Tina Fey and Melinda Gates both as the most powerful mom of the year. And it was obviously two very different categories, because Melinda Gates is giving away billions of dollars a year. She is traveling to other countries. She is co-running the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is undoubtedly the world's largest philanthropic organization. They have $33.5 billion in their endowment. And then on top of that, Tina Fey rose, and maybe that was name recognition. Maybe it was a year where we really needed to laugh. Maybe it was because of, on top of Bossy Pants and Emmy Awards and writing as well as acting, as well as just leading the way in so many conversations, we really thought that she had really risen up the ranks and so many people had chosen her. So we think it's a telling thing that 2011 had two women at the top who were very different, very divergent, and yet their commonality was that they are moms.
All right. That's it for today. Helen Johnson is editor of WorkingMother.com. And if you want to read the entire list, you can go there. Helen was with us from NPR's New York Bureau, along with Leslie Morgan Steiner, one of our regular contributors, the author most recently of Crazy Love and editor of Mommy Wars. Jolene Ivey is a state legislator in Maryland. She was here with us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
And that's our program for today. My thanks to Allison Keyes for sitting in for me last week. I'm Michelle Martin, and you've been listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.